Thank you for today. We bless you. Thank you for our lives. I heard my brother talking about oxygen that we need per day. Thank you for the breath of life. Thank you for everything. Thank you for the testimony we had. Thank you for the move of your power. Thank you for our lives. Our lives are filled with your goodness. We give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. Thank you for day by day you load us with benefit, even the things that accompany salvation. We thank you for Jesus Christ. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. And thank you for everything that we have in you. Thank you, our Father. We ask that you glorify Jesus amongst us today. Glorify your Son in our lives. And glorify us so that we might bring glory to you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Praise the Lord. Wow, it's good to be in your midst once again. The last time I was here, I don't think any of you here was here that time. Praise the Lord. I want to appreciate every one of you. I want to appreciate your president in absentia. Tony was going to camp. He called me yesterday and I asked for Femi. He said he's in camp too. And Dave, thank you so much. And the entire leadership. I want to thank you for this invitation and every one of you that are seated here that believe in the vision of NCCF. God bless you. I say God bless you.
Amen.
I'm not hearing your voice, so you are not expecting blessing. I say God bless you.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Also, I fellowship in NCCF during my days on camp. During my days in service, I went to NCCF and it really enriched my life. Ali, something from is a deviation from the norm, from what you used to know. You do something different. That's why we encourage as many people that go to service to always fellowship with NCCF. Praise the Lord. So I'll be speaking to you on the home and Christianity. See, godly homes that change the world. I mean, one big topic like that they gave me. Praise the Lord. I didn't do further math, so I just did simple mathematics. So please. Amen.
Amen.
Now, how many of you are married here? How many of us are married here? Okay, just one person. My brother there. Who else again? Okay. My brother is married and I'm married too. So just two of us. In this whole mixed multitude. Praise the Lord. Don't worry, you soon get married. Some people are not expecting to be married. I say you soon get married. And God will give you a good home. Just like He gave it to me. I'm proud to say it anyway. I have a good home. I have a godly home. So at least I'm qualified by the Spirit and also by Bishop working with God to take this topic. Praise the Lord. Now, if you look at God Himself as a person, you see, everything we understand it from God. We understand from Him because He's the author, He's the manufacturer, He's the one that designed and put our lives together. So all the events and the processes of our life, He also what? He planned everything and put it together. So if you look at who God is, if you look at who God is, if you look at His character, if you look at His nature, then when now we now begin to relate, we now begin to relate after that same manner and that same pattern, His nature, His character and everything. There's something about the Holy Spirit. They call Him the life-giving Spirit. They call Him the Spirit of life. If you look at Romans 8, that the Holy Ghost is a life-giver. The Bible says the law of the Spirit of life. The Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. If you look at Revelation 11, talks about the two witnesses that died and the Spirit of life from God. So what I'm trying to establish by this is that the Holy Ghost is the Spirit of life. Praise the Lord. Then the home. Now you now begin to now wonder how it's a mystery. It's a mystery to God. It's, you and I may be able to understand it, but God does not understand it and He will never understand it. Why marriages break? People get married and after 15 years, Everybody say they are going their own way. It's a mystery that God cannot understand. He does not even have the capacity to understand it. He thinks it's everything that God understands. There are things we understand more than God. Praise the Lord. Yes, you are looking at me. There are things we understand. You say God has made man simple, but they have invented to themselves so many inventions. To God, it was an invention. When men begin to invent wrong, walk in the wrong path. You know, when men begin to interface with evil, God has never interfaced with evil before. He only did that in Christ. And even in Christ, he was sinless. So he doesn't know evil the way you and I know it. You know, you are very smart. You know how to wiggle your way out. If instead of A, you say it's B. Right? You escape and you go. Amen. God does not know that. He doesn't understand that language. It's not part of his nature. It's not just part of him. If I ask you now in Chinese, now can you speak China? Can you speak Chinese language? But there are some people that are so fluent in Chinese. By reason of work and learning, you know, they were born in it. The psalmist said, in iniquity did my mother conceive me. He said, create in me a new heart and renew a right spirit within me. Change the ordinances that is in me and change it to another one. Praise the Lord. So that's why I say some things are mystery to God and I just explained it. Now, the first man, Adam. When God created that first man, he was what? I will explain what I said just now. When God created the first man, the Bible says he was a living soul. He was a living soul. But when God created the second Adam, the last Adam, the second man, who is called the last Adam, they say he's a life-giving spirit. So the first man was a living soul. He's alive. He can do his own thing. But the second man, is not just that he's alive. That man transmits life. Praise the Lord. Because God is the God of life. That's why they call him the author and the originator of life. If you go to Acts chapter 2, when it talks about Christ, that the prince of, you have killed the prince of life. And prefer to choose the, is it Barabbas or so, you know? You deny the holy and the just one, the prince of life. You see, the author and the originator, God himself is life. That's why everything that God does is life. Everything about God is called life. Praise the Lord. So the man that God makes also transmits life. The man gives life. So when you come to, that's why a lot of things you can recount them. He said the path of life. Abby, he said that will show me the path of life. Jesus said, I'm the bread of life. Everything about God is life. I'm not going to that. That's not my message, but I just use it to lay the foundation to what I'm going to say next. So everything about God transmits life. So when two of us come together in marriage, the home. Now I'll show you the very foundation of the home. The home. When two of us comes together, when the man and the woman comes together, so I am a life-giving spirit. This is the second man. Jesus is a life-giving spirit. You see, and as is the first man, I will not open that Bible. It's 1 Corinthians 15. He gave me, I just have 15 minutes. The first man was a living soul, like I said. The man was alive. But the second man, more than being alive, that man also gives life. He transmits life. He's a life transmitter. So, the first man, Adam, was a life-giving, was a living soul. The second man is a life-giving spirit. And the Bible says, as is the first man, so were his descendant, Adam. As is the second man, and so also are his descendant. If you say you are in Christ, you are a new person. You know, you are a new person. You are a descendant of Christ. You came out of Christ. So as he is, the Bible said in 1 John 4, and says, as he is, so are we in this world. So that man transmits life. So you as a person, you transmit life. So I cannot imagine some two people come together in marriage. We'll be married for 10 years. And I'm transmitting life inside of you. I'm transmitting life inside of you. I want to show you marriage. You know, just I kiss you, you kiss me. Abby, I touch you, you touch me. It's beyond that. I am transmitting life into your essential being. And you are transmitting life into my essential being. Praise the Lord. We will be so full of life. We'll be so full of life that after a point, then we'll not get to a point after about 10 years. That means we've not been transmitting anything. After 10 years, I cannot work. We'll call it irreconcilable differences. You know that there's nothing like that in God. Praise the Lord. All the differences that God had with man, he reconciled them. It was reconciled on the cross. But men now came up today and they say there are differences that are irreconcilable. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. What an aberration. And what a foolishness. Praise the Lord. So you have a responsibility. I have a responsibility. So marriage is the first institution in the world. A lot of you went to university. Look at the way you labor and you work. But to prepare for the home, some of us are not even doing anything. The only prayer point is the right Mr. Right Person. The right person. When you carry two names and come and give Dave. Or who is the prayer coordinator? Please let me pray on these two names. Some of us at best, that's what we do. Praise the Lord. The requirement, marriage is the first institution, the most ancient institution. That's the first institution in the world. God is one institution that God ordained. After He created man and the woman, He put them together in marriage. The two shall become one flesh and everything. Wow. It takes a whole life of preparation to enter into that institution. Look at here, say, if you don't even pass jam, they will not allow you to enter. After you pass jam, they say, come and write another one that they just cancel now. Post you may post you. You what? UT. I didn't write it in my days. So, UTME. You now still write that one. If you don't pass again, you cannot even allow you to enter. But this one now, after you just wake up, carry, wear suit, wear tie, put perfume, you just walk in. People walk in and they begin to stumble. Some will even walk out. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So what did I say? The second man is what? It's a life. It transmits life. And the arrowhead of that life that it transmits, the arrowhead is love. That's why the Bible says the law. If you look at Romans 8, they say the law of the spirit of life. The law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. Do you know what that law is? When you talk about the law of the spirit, I'll soon join all these things together. So let me just say them in pockets. I'll tidy everything. You see, the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. Do you know what that law is? That law is love. That law is love. Look at James chapter. Look at James. James chapter 2, verse 8. James chapter 2, verse 8. He said, if you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you do well. At the mouth of two or three witnesses, a matter is established. This is number one. The royal law. Royal law. There's one law in the New Testament. You know, the Old Testament has so many of them. But in the New Testament, you have law. Jesus said, a new commandment I give you. In John chapter 13. And what does it say? What's the new commandment? I'm not hearing your voice. Me too, I'll soon drop the mic and go and sit down. So all of us will be looking at ourselves. You say John chapter 13, verse 34. He said, a new commandment, a new law I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you. That you also love one another. He said, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples. If you have love one for another. So the very, what bears of the pillar of the home, the very foundation of the marriage, the home, is what? It's love. It's love, it's life. That's why I say life. Then that life, the arrowhead of that life, the arrowhead. You know, if you see this arrow, it has a head. The arrowhead of that life. It's love. Praise the Lord. For God so loved the world that He gave what? God loved. He gave His only Son. Whoever believes in Him will not perish, will have what? Can you see love and life? God loved and He gave His Son. Whoever believes will have life. Can you see love and life? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So now, the home. I'm going to explain some things now about... Let me tell you how serious it is. The covenant. That's why when even man relates with God on the ground of covenant, then the marriage between a man and a woman is also on the ground of covenant. Now, okay, before I go there, let me tell you one thing. I was praying one morning, and God told me something about my wife that at least is altering. It's altering my perception and understanding about marriage. He says, she's my covenant to you. So it's not just I have a woman that I can just misbehave anyhow. That woman I'm looking at is my covenant with God. He says, she's my covenant. She's my covenant to you. That's why he told her in Isaiah 42 and Isaiah 48. He said, well, God's own covenant. He said, I'll give you Christ, the Messiah. So I'm going to give you my son. And it's going to be my covenant. It's going to be a covenant to you. So God's covenant sometimes can be embodied in a person.
You see, Jesus Christ is our eternal covenant with the Father. Don't forget. It's our covenant with God. So that's why anything God look at us in the context of his Son, in the context of Jesus Christ. So when you are going to get married and all of those kindergarten understanding you have, you think it needs to start altering and start changing. It's my covenant with you. That woman. God carry a whole person and gives the person to you. That this is your wife. And that this is your husband. The one strand of that person here you cannot make. You cannot make. Even if the person is sick, you are running up and down, you don't have any answer. You don't even know Jack Robinson. But God carries a human being and gives it to you. We can be like trees, where you can just, after you grow, you get pregnant and you drop a child. That's how trees live. That God has that possibility, but he didn't allow it for men. He said two of us should come together just to teach us relationship and to teach us love. Praise the Lord. Trees, they bam, mango tree, you just grow and drop. Abby, just drop a seed. The seed becomes another mango tree. As I say, the fruit of a mango tree is another mango tree. God could have made man like that. So I don't need you, not need me. I just say, okay, I want two children. You know, I just pump two of them out. You know, well, he wants to teach us relationship. You know, he wants to teach us his divine nature. Yes, God is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Three of them and the three what are one. God wants to teach us relationship. God wants to teach us interaction. Praise the Lord. So I was saying that about the covenant, that God gives you another human being. It's more than a company. It's more than building a company. It's more than having a certificate. It's more than ambition. It's more than becoming a president or a minister. Somebody says something about the home that I like quoting. Anytime I come to a forum, I have to talk about family. He said the home is where the great are small and where the small are great. It brings a balance and an equilibrium in life. It's where the great are small. So if you look at who is a great man, let me use his name. Let's say American president. He's the president, they call him the president of the whole world. But in his home, he's not the president. In his home, he's big outside, but in home, he's small. And if somebody can carry a glass of water and pour it on his face, you will not hear it outside. True of us. It brings you down. That is superhuman stature that you have outside. You don't have it in your home. They can talk to you anyhow. Imagine an American president coming and you pour a glass of water on his face. Praise the Lord. Then it is also the place that the small. I say the great are what? They are small. And the small, they are what? That man that you may not respect, maybe he's some of those men you see on the road, maybe he's a organizer, he's the gate man that opens gate for you. Maybe it's your gate man, you lash him every day or something. If he goes to, he has three children, he has a home, it doesn't matter where they are living, even if they use carton to construct that place. But in that place is the Father. Praise the Lord. All of you grew up in a home, you knew what your mother is to you, you know what your father is to you. So the man is small outside, but in his home, is he small? Is he small? So the home is where the small are what? Are what? Are great. And where the great are what? And where the great are what? They are small. So you can see the majesty and the power of the home. It's a unique and an awesome experience that God gives us. It's also a place that God wants also to mirror what how the kingdom is supposed to look like. Praise the Lord. So I was talking about the covenant. Now, when God meets man, our life is based on covenant. God relates with man based on covenant, and we too is a covenant. That's why you call people together. If you have attended a marriage ceremony before, it's a covenant between two people. It's a covenant. So, and I just want to show you a picture about what covenant is. Now, when God makes covenant with man, or any form of covenant, that covenant is being upheld by life. Praise the Lord. It's not something you do and say, okay, this thing will be the surety. I want to borrow money from a bank. This is my house. It's the guarantor. No, that covenant, you take it out with your life. The covenant stand on the stand upon which it stands is your life. It, you bear it up with life. Covenant. Look at Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 32:47. Our projector is in camp, so I'll be reading. You'll be reading. He said, for it is not a vain. Deuteronomy 32:40 what?
Sorry, let me look at the verse again. Deuteronomy 32. Okay. But let me read from verse 46. And he said unto them, set your hearts unto all the words which I testify among you this day, which you shall command your children to observe to do, all the words of this law, for it is not a vain thing for you, because it is your life. And through this thing you shall prolong your days in the land, whither you go over Jordan to possess it. Then the place, he said, I play before you life and death, because that the words that I speak to you, they are your life. If you notice the covenant, that's why the Ark of the Covenant, they put the two tablets of stone. Those words, what they call covenant is those words. Those words that God spoke to Israel, that's the covenant. You know, he said, this word that I speak to you, they are your life. So it's not just that I'm telling you to do something, or I'm telling you something. No, this is your life. If you deviate from it, you are deviating from your life. So the degree to which you deviate from it is the degree to which you are deviating from the original intent and purpose for your life. Praise the Lord. So your life is in the covenant. That's what I want to bring out. Look at Colossians 3:3. I told us that Christ is our eternal covenant with the Father. Colossians 3:3. For you are dead, and your life is hid where? Your life is hidden inside the covenant. You see, and your life is hid with Christ in God. You see, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, say, then shall you also appear with him in glory. When Christ, who is our life, that's why he tells us that if you do not fear them that can destroy the body, but they cannot access your life. Because your life is in Christ. Your life is hidden inside the covenant. So anytime God cut covenant with man, your life is inside. So you see that marriage vow that you take. You see that marriage vow that you take, your life is inside. That's what I'm telling you. So if you are not ready to go for it, you don't go for it in the first place. But if you are ready to go in God's own order and in God's own pattern, your life is inside. So the more you abide in that covenant, the more it will go well with you. The more things will begin to work. God will begin to God will begin to orchestrate and arrange things. Things will begin to go in good order, you know, as they are ordained and supposed to be in your life. But when you begin to deviate out of it, a lot of things will start going wrong in your life. Many have died earlier than they ought to have died because of what? Because of deviating from their responsibility in marriage, in the home. It's a covenant you cut before God and before the whole host of angels, before the cloud of witnesses. And God is faithful. God does not break covenant. There is no place that God has ever broken his covenant. I'm coming to the next thing now. I've told you that you take the covenant with your life. Praise the Lord. So when you break the covenant, you break your life. In fact, one time God told me that something that they covenant. Please wake your neighbor. Don't allow anybody to sleep. My sister, your brother beside you is sleeping. So he said the covenant cannot be broken without death. You know, there are things you hear from God that it will shape in you. He was still on the marriage issue. He said the covenant cannot be broken without death. And he took me all through the scripture. The first covenant he had with Edaman, he said, Don't eat this thing. The day you eat it, you will what? You will die. Jesus said, John chapter 15, he said, abide in me. If you don't abide in me, you cannot bear fruit. Any branch that is not abiding in me is what? It is hewn out, cast out, and thrown into the fires. Praise the Lord. So he said, if you, the moment you break the covenant cannot be broken without death. It's not as if the day Adam sinned, he was still alive, he was still giving birth to children. Right? He was still giving birth to children, give birth to Abel, Cain, all of them. You know, as if you will not still be alive. You still be alive and running activities and all those things. But a chunk of your eternal destiny has been taken away. It's not as if God will even reject you. God will help you as much as he can. That's one aspect of grace. God will help you as much as he can. Praise the Lord. God created man and don't do this thing. Even when man sinned, he helped man as much as he could. Even that was not his perfect will. So even if you deviate, God will still help you. It's not as if God will not be there. You will always find him. It's any time you come, you find him. But don't forget, a chunk of your eternal destiny has been taken away. Irrespective of the drama you speak, I'll show you something about the law of vows. So I told you that you stay the covenant with what? With your life. And you cannot break the covenant without even breaking what? the tentacles of your own life. Okay, so let me go to Numbers chapter 30, verse 2. The law of vow. Let me show you the law of vow. In 1 Corinthians, Paul was telling them some believers were dying, not because of Satan. He said, because you don't discern the Lord's body. When they come for communion, some will rush and eat the food. He said, some are sick and some have even died. Because they were breaking spiritual laws and breaking spiritual principles. The physical world is governed by laws. Look at the law of gravity. Maybe let me just climb. Maybe this place is a rooftop. I just come. Maybe I decide to disregard the law of gravity. I just decide to walk straight from an upstairs. What happened? It was Satan that killed me, right? Right? That is when you even violate natural laws. There are even implications. What about when you now begin to violate spiritual laws? Spiritual laws. So, all of these things we do must have a background understanding of what we are saying and what we are doing, so that we will not even find victim of what our own mouth has said. Look at Numbers chapter 30, verse 3. What does this say? Verse 2. What does it say? Read it. I want to hear it from your own Bible. It's okay. If a man vow a vow unto the Lord. What do you normally say when you want to get married? You say for to love, to cherish, in honor, and in riches and in poverty, in sickness and in death, until what? That's the vow. Okay. Now, if a man vow a vow unto the Lord, or swear an oath to bind his soul with a bond, he shall not break his word. He shall do according to all that proceed out of his mouth. I'm showing the law of vow. Then I'll go and show you Ecclesiastes. And I say that one. I say, do not say before the angel it was a mistake. What I did was a mistake. I fell into error. Okay, look at the Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Verse 6. He said, do not allow your mouth to cause your flesh to sin. Neither say you before the angel that it was an error. Why should God be angry at your voice and destroy the work of your hands? Do not allow your mouth to cause your flesh to sin. Neither say you before the angel that it was an error. Why should God be angry at your voice and destroy the works of your hands? Now go follow me to Psalms 15. Let me ask. I want to answer one question now. What if there are so many, maybe you can do so many simulations now? Okay, what if and what and this should happen? What this and this and this should happen? What this and this and this should happen? So many beautiful reasons and excuses that we could give. I want to show you something. You say, Psalm 15, are we there? Lord, who shall abide in your tabernacle? Who shall dwell in your holy hill? He that walks uprightly and walk righteousness. And speak the truth in his heart. He that backbites not with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor take up a reproach against his neighbor, in whose eyes a vile person is condemned, but he honors them that fear the Lord. What's the next thing? That man has no capacity, or the woman has no capacity to change. He says he swears, he takes the vow to his own heart, and he does not change. Jephthah has told God that let me go to war. Anything that comes out of my house, I'll give it to you as an offering. Jephthah went to the war in the Bible. When he was returning, God gave him victory. And the first thing that came was his only child, his daughter. His daughter came out. He took that child and gave it to God as an offering. Can you see the law of vow? Praise the Lord. The responsibility about having a home marriage is about is you. Don't even think about the next person. What if this and that? How this person, if he treated me like this, if he does this, it's you. Prepare yourself for it abundantly and sufficiently. The Bible says, where grace abound, where sin abound, what happened? In that same home where misbehavior abound, what did the Bible tell us? God will enlarge your capacity to take it. Yes, God will enlarge your capacity to take it.
Men, all this beautiful story you can give, men will take it to. He said, he that swears to his own heart that does not change. Malachi 3:6 said that I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore, you sons of men are not consumed. He said, I don't have capacity to change. Maybe one God wake up one day that men are sinning too much. I'm going to withdraw the sun. The sun. I'm going to recover the ordinances of heaven. All of them are faithful and eternal to show us the nature and character of God. Romans 1 talks about Romans 1:20 said that the invisible qualities of him are clearly seen, being understood from the things that are made, his eternal power and his Godhead. We can look at creation and see the nature and character of God. Praise the Lord. We can look at creation and perfectly see the character, the essence, and the nature of who God is. How they are, all of them are faithful. Look at the sun. Every day the sun continues to beam forth. Every day the sun continues to beam. And Jesus himself is called the Son of Righteousness. You know what he does? The rays that Jesus beamed forth is righteousness. When it comes into your life, you begin to supply what? The rays of righteousness. Praise the Lord. So you can see the very thing that forms the background of the whole Christ, of the home we are going to have in the first place. It is ordained by God to be what? A place and abode of life. It is an abode of love. So what I'm simply telling you is to prepare. I can tell you so many things about the home, but I want to tell you something that will help you. You need to sufficiently prepare for it. Praise the Lord. It is now you prepare for tomorrow. Some of you here cannot even treat your fellow. Maybe you are living in this lodge. Some of you live in this copper's lodge. The brothers here don't even respect them. I can show you that's what you are going to meet in your home. It will get to a point. What you are doing to them, you turn into your husband. After that, love languages are clear. After that, initial adrenaline has clear. That is the same. The way you treat that brother around you, that's the exact way you are going to treat your husband. When I was going to get married, nobody could deceive me. No matter how much you tell me you love me, I will accept it. That's a mental assent. And I will thank you. But you know, I will wash. They always say pray and wash. I will wash the character. I will wash the way, the attitude to other people. How the person is responding to other men, because that's the way he's going to treat me. How that lady, how that man is with you, and he's with you. You are just sitting there and talking, eating in an eatery. He has insulted 10 ladies that enter into that place. And he's telling all the whole language without you and all of those things, you know. That is grand and ultimate deception. It's a character, it's a nature. That nature will be passed on to you. Simple analogy, right? That is who the person is. He could pretend. That's why I say he was pretending. One lady told me that the man he married, that this was not the person. He was not the person I married. He lost so many cases like that. The Bible said the scripture, thank God for David, was talking about the word of God, is to make you wise unto salvation. He made me wise. Amen. Praise the Lord. So you look at the general character of the person, because that is the same way he's going to treat you. That's it. You see a lady and you say you love the lady, she cannot even cook for her parents. She's even in her home, she's not even homely. Even in her home, she's not submitting to the mother that gave birth to her and carried her for 9 months. Then you are just coming from where? Where did you come from yesterday? Think he'll submit to you. Praise the Lord. Yes. If I stay here, just stay here with two people for like 2 days, I can perfectly pick up the marriage material. Work the true discernment of spirit. You know, after that's why even God himself, that is all knowing. They say God knows the end from the beginning. When they gave him report about Sodom and Gomorrah, he said, let me go there and watch. Let me go there and see it. Abi, did God not know about it? He said, they said their report has come, but I go there to prove it. You must, the Bible says, prove all things. He said, prove it. All of you just want to hear. You are even waiting. Just bam, when you hear that word, you just blind your eyes, you start running. That's the only prayer point you pray, is that is it A or B? And all of those things. No, it's also beyond that. You hear God, you know, but you prove it. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So what am I saying in essence? That he swears to his own heart and he does not change. You are fully responsible for the person you marry. One, you have the privilege of talking to God before you marry that person. Do you see why some people say they were deceived into it? Okay, let me show you something very key. So that, please, how many of us know the story of the Gibeonites? I'll not open that scripture. The Gibeonites. When the Israelites, God said they should destroy the Gigashites, all of them. The Gibeon, they disguised and they came and met Joshua that were not from this land. You know, when they came, God said they should destroy everybody in that land. They should not spare anybody. When they came, I want to show you the picture of marriage. Later, I will not turn. You can't walk away. I say you can't walk away from the covenant. When they came, they disguised and they deceived Joshua and the elders of Israel. We are not from this land. We are from a very far place. And they swore to them. They swore an oath. Did God ratify that oath? Later, when they proceeded further, they discovered they were from that land. But is it reversible? They could not reverse it. When they proceeded, they discovered that they were from that land. But because of the oath, they were allowed to live among the children of Israel. The only thing they said that they will make them slaves in that same land. But they could not reverse the hand of the covenant because they swore an oath to those people that will keep you alive. Then let me look at one man. You see, as I said, that you take that covenant, that oath, you cannot walk away. Okay, look at Saul. Look at what King Saul did. In the days of Daniel, King David, there was a famine in the land for 3 years. 3 years. I'll give you the Bible reference because of you that are writing. 3 years there was famine. David, the man after God's own heart. Everything David went and met God. And God said it because of the Gibeonite. This was nearly over 1,000 years later. That covenant, that word that we're giving them, King Saul, in his zeal for God, he was killing them. He was killing the Gibeonite, King Saul. So because of them, there was famine in the land for 3 years. When God when David met God, he said, it is because of King Saul and his bloody house. Because he stretched forth his sword to kill the Gibeonite. Saul woke up one morning and said, the Gibeonite deceived our forefathers. Joshua did not kill them. Others did not kill them. Yeah, we killed them. He was wiping them out of the land. And God responded from heaven. There was a famine in the land for 3 good years. Our own is not up to 3 years. We are shouting. How many? Just few months. Why? But that one was 3 years. The famine in Israel is not like the famine in Nigeria. Sometimes the famine, there is no water. Sometimes there is no food, there is no water in Israel. That's the famine that used to happen in Israel. So you can see, imagine there is no water for us to drink. I'm not even talking about bath, bathe, drink. So, let me give you the scripture. Second Samuel. Dave, I'm not able to enter the heart of the matter. I just want to lay foundation. You'll be having some other meetings. In fact, what I wanted to even talk about, I had to step it back. I had to step back the message. What I even wanted to talk about, I had to step it back. So, some other things I was not able to, but I'll just give you this one and leave it. 2 Samuel chapter 21. Please don't allow anybody to deceive you. If he's telling you anything, he should show you from the Bible. Now, 2 Samuel chapter 21 verse 1. There was a famine in the days of David 3 years, year after year. And David inquired of the Lord, and the Lord answered, it is for Saul and for his bloody house, because he slew the Gibeonite. He slew the Gibeonite. So when you say, I was deceived into it. But once you take, because at the point you took the oath, that's what called you must be responsible for your action. That's why even in law, amongst men, they say ignorance of what? You say, I'm sorry, I didn't know. Ignorance of the law is not what? It's not an excuse. Even men don't take it. And Allah, I say God to take it. It's not as if God will not. I say God will see help you. I'm not saying God will reject you. No. God will see help you as much as he can. But a chunk of your eternal destiny has been taken away. Praise the Lord. Did you get my message? Did you get my message? So it's not as if you not make it to heaven. No. But a chunk of your life in God has been, you know, has been affected. So now look at another person. Example, the second one, Jacob. Jacob went to labor 7 years for one lady. What was the lady's name? Rachel, in the night when there was no light. You know the Bible says prove all things. That's God's nature and character. He has put it inside you. If you ignore it, you are responsible for whatever you see. Praise the Lord. If they say there's a coffee, army shoot outside, nobody should come out. If you come out and they shoot you, who is responsible? Who is responsible? Right? If you refuse to take warning, God has given us, who have his nature. That's why I give example of God. He said, I'm going to prove to go and check Sodom and Gomorrah if these things are so. And when he went there, they wanted to kill the two angels. Then God now destroyed the land. So this report I'm hearing is true. Praise the Lord. Abraham, did God not know Abraham from before he gave birth to him? It was when Abraham now put Isaac on the altar. The Bible said, God now, so he said, now I know. So that means, did God not know before? Did he not know before? The one that is omniscient, he knows, he's all knowing, he knows the beginning from the end. He said, now I know. that Abraham loved me. He said, now I swear, you know, and now God gave him the covenant and oath. It became irreversible. He said, now I know. Did you read your Bible? It's there. Praise the Lord. So in the night, Jacob, he labored for who? Rachel. The father smuggled Leah and put it inside. Leah was there. I don't know how dark that place was. You know, he didn't hear, at least you don't even talk. You don't even know the voice of Rachel. I say, you want to marry. Yeah, there are two primary ways you recognize the person, the face and the voice, right? If I show you the picture of David now, just the picture, I cover the face. I just show you the body. Maybe you are in Brazil. I say, do you know this person? You don't know the person. If you just see only his face, will you recognize the person? If you see only his face, this is David, right? Yeah, but if you see maybe they just cover it, they just snap him from here down. Maybe one, maybe anything. If let him wear a Chinese attire, they just snap it. Will you recognize him? If you wear a Chinese attire and they just show only his head, will you recognize him? You recognize people from the head. That means we derive our identity from the head. That's why God is our head. We derive our identity from him. Praise the Lord. So the voice and the face. Now, this was Rachel. I don't know. Maybe the woman just, maybe he rushed it. I don't know how he rushed it. So after sleeping with the woman, he now discovered that it was Leah. He now hated the woman. When he now hated the woman, then God now responded from heaven. Let me show you. You can't say before the angel it was a mistake. Genesis 29. Are we there? Verse 31. Please read your Bible so that I can read my own. Genesis 29, verse 31. Yes. That was God, how God dispensed with them. It's when he saw that, okay, you hated Leah. This is Rachel. The now later gave him Rachel, he closed that womb. It was his strength, might, and mighty prevailing that God opened the womb of Rachel. And she only gave birth to only two, Joseph and Benjamin. Leah was just pumping them out. He was just pumping them out. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You see how God dispensed. What about Esau? Then finally, before I move out from this one, what about Esau? How did he get the birthright? Esau and Jacob. How did he get it? It was Esau's own. Give me my porridge. I will not give you my porridge. Okay, take my birthright. I'll take your. The father did not know what happened there. When they came now, he deceived the mother, taught him everything. Did he get the blessing or not? Did God ratify it? God ratified it. He got the blessing. It was given to Jacob. Even if it was on the foundation of deception. The moment the patriarch pronounced the blessing, he gave him the covenant. He put it in his loins. From the loins of Abraham to the loins of Isaac. From the loins of Isaac to the loins of whom? Jacob. Jacob was even extraordinary amongst them too. Because Abraham had how many sons? He had two, they had other sons from the concubine. He had Ishmael. God picked only one son from Abraham. He picked only one son from whom? Isaac. How many did God pick from Jacob? God picked all. He picked all his sons, the 12 of them. The patriarch. Praise the Lord. You know, so God altered in dispensation in the days of that same Jacob, the one that got it by deception. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So what am I saying? So I say marriage is an institution on its own. You prepare for it. The home. Praise the Lord. That's why a lot of things are wrong in the, you know, the primary core. You know, we're running around doing ministry and building cathedrals and building churches. But the first ministry is the home. It's your home. It's your home. It's your home is like a transmission. It's a transmission station. From there, God transmits life all over the world. Then God's own program is going to God's own agenda. That home is supposed to mirror his kingdom in heaven. God has a home. His eternal home in heaven. So when two people come together, you see, that's why they say the marriage is like Ephesians 5. It talks about the marriage between a man and a wife. It's like the marriage between Christ and the church. And it's like the marriage between Christ and his father. Praise the Lord. So it's like the relationship that is there between the Father in heaven and the Son on earth, Jesus in the flesh, the Son of God on earth, that the relationship that is there between two of them. Then Jesus now replicated it, the relationship that is there between Christ and his church, his body, right? His body. Because when Jesus was on earth, his body was the body of the God in heaven. He said, God is in me. Do not the things that you are seeing. I'm not the one that I'm doing it. Everything I say, God was in me. So his body, God is the head, and the body is the body. So when Jesus is now and the church, Jesus is our head and we are his body, right? Then when now come to the man and the woman, how the Ephesians 5 say that the man is the head and the woman is what? The woman is the body. That's why I say if he had lost his wife, lost his own body. I'm going to that teaching. But you see, the man, he said the two shall become one flesh. How are they two one flesh? The man is the head, the woman is the body. Praise the Lord. The man is the head, the woman is the body. So I'm going to that, but that's the illustration I want to give you. So it's supposed to mirror the relation, God's eternal kingdom in heaven. The home. The privilege, the home will have the privilege and the honor to have. It's a place that is to be radiating with love. Beaming with love and beaming with eternal life. With fullness of life. Praise the Lord. That's just the picture. So anybody walks into your home, he walks into God. That's why if you look at when the church started, for the first about 300 years or so in church history, you know there was no building. Do you know what was synonymous to God's house? It was the home. That if you look at Acts of the Apostles, he said, the church in thy house. He said, unto the church in thy house. Philemon, to the church in thy house. He said, Gaius. That scripture I used to quote. You need to go and know about the life of Gaius. Gaius was somebody that opened his house to the whole of the brethren. He said that you may prosper and be in health and even as thy soul prosper. That letter was written to Gaius. If you go to Romans chapter 16, you see where Paul was talking about chaos. You know that the whole church, the whole assembly, all the believers are testifying about your life. Praise the Lord. So you not just pick the Bible and start quoting it. If you see that man was living a life that is godly and kingdom pattern. Praise the Lord. So if you see like that's why, can you wonder that, I say the first 300 years, the first church building was built in the days of, Emperor Constantine, yes, Constantine, 300 something AD, over 300 years after Christ has left. And even those times, the church was very strong in the midst of fiery opposition. You know the churches? It was the homes. The homes. The homes were God's house. So it's not just that you have a home, a man and a woman, it doesn't matter where you live. That is God's house. That is God's home. That is the gate of heaven. That is the gate. That is the access point of heaven to the earth. So that's why if you some of those scriptures. So marriage is deeper than we think. Look at Acts. I'll read it. Please don't bother. Just read me. Acts chapter 8 verse 3. For Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house. Every house. And healing men and women that were committed them to prison. He was going to every house. He was entering the church because the very house is the church. That's God's original pattern and intention. You see, all this other one are makeshift. And that's why he has not able to deliver tangible results. Do you wonder that in Acts of the Apostles, when the first day that the Holy Ghost came, how many people got born again? 3,000 people got saved. And yet they were not looking for money to go and erect cathedral and erect structures. You know why? They opened the original institution that God meant to house the church. They opened all their homes. 3,000 people got born again. I can imagine 3,000 people should come into NCCF today. I know they start looking for money. Because this place, because our equation is structure, building, and those are the, 3,000 people got born again. And the Bible says all of them were together. You know why? All of them opened their homes. Somebody says, somebody is my father. I say, this one is your spiritual father. You cannot even enter his house. He says, it's your spiritual father. I say, you cannot even enter his house. I don't know how that equation matches. All of them opened their homes. That's why he said they went from house to house. He said, daily they were together in one accord in the temple. Then the next thing the Bible said in Acts is that he said they were going from house to house. They were breaking bread. They were eating from house. So that's Acts chapter 2. If you now go to Acts chapter 4 verse 4, the Bible says again, when they did that miracle in Acts chapter 3, I know my time, I'm rounding up now. So, if they say in Acts chapter 4, they say another 5,000 people, they were added. And there was no confusion in the camp of the believers. All of them opened the original institution of God's house. It was a home. Praise the Lord. Any neighborhood or community that your house is situated, that is God's house. From that place, it's supposed to radiate around, God's fragrance. That's our fragrance of Christ. Praise the Lord. It's supposed to radiate around the whole surrounding. Some people there, you cannot enter their house, like I said. You know, when you open your heart to God, the next thing you open is your home. That's why they say nobody consider anything that they have as their own. Some of you have your mind that is you and your husband and your children. Even the some of you here, the relative of your husband and your relative of your wife cannot even come. You are so far from God's kingdom. It's not as if you are not in there. It's not as if you don't have a title. It's not as if you may not even be a pastor. But you are indeed far from the kingdom. After your heart open, the next thing that should be open is the home. All of them open. That's the pattern. And that's the divine pattern. Walk in that pattern, you see God. The home. The home is God's house. God intended to be his house. That's why you can imagine all the believers now, all our believers, look at our homes as centers that are God's house. So people can all of us can do meeting now, go and rent hall and be pretending in that place. Come for program and all of those things, or somebody else at home. That's after about 18 years of marriage. Some people say that they cannot live together. I've been taking insult and abuse all these years. You've carried it for 18 years. Now you suddenly remember that I cannot take it again. But the first 18 years, you've been telling us that everything has been well. That means you've been a hypocrite for the past 18 years. So the problem is not with the institution of marriage. The problem is you. 18 years, you've been telling us that everything is okay. You've been parading. We'll be looking at you as a mirror, as a pattern. All of a sudden, it came that you've been taking insult. So you've been taking insult for the 18 years. After 18 years, you just woke up, you cannot take it. That's why I say that that home is supposed to be transmitting life. You are supposed to be, you say, well, life-giving spirit. I'm supposed to be depositing life inside my wife. That life talk about patience, talk about love, talk about faith, all those fruit of the spirit. Those are the packages of all life. You are transmitting this into my wife. My wife is transmitting it to me. And so the thing is, that is they form the spiritual atmosphere of the home. My children will just go into it without prayer point. Praise the Lord. No prayer. They will grow into that atmosphere. Go and give birth to a child in China. And you now start praying, Lord, let my child learn how to speak Chinese. You do need to pray. Automatically you pick the language. That's how, if there is sufficient life in that home, the child will grow into it. The word of God cannot be broken. The fact that it does not happen in a family, or maybe the man that you think is your idol, and his children are misbehaving, the fact it didn't happen to them, does not explain anything. The Bible explains it all. We pick our understanding from the word. Praise the Lord. They grow up into that. They say, I and the children that God has given me are there for signs and they are for wonder. He said, train up a child in the path he should go. When he's old, he will not what? He will not depart from it. You know, he said, when he grow up into that atmosphere, because you can see that some people, and I know, God help us, now I'm a person like me now, God give me so much money now. The next thing, I don't want my children to suffer. Maybe me that I ate garri when I was growing up and everything, your children, if you want to go to holiday now, they go to my Smuru house. From my Smuru's house, they go to Keneko Plan's house. Those are the only life they know. Tomorrow they start misbehaving. You say the children of this person. Ah, how come this so anointed man and all of those things? You must train the child. Yes, even if you are living in White House, sometimes you send him to the mission field. In order to do Royal Rocket. Maybe when he's doing his vacation, maybe he's going to Capitol Hill. I don't know all those schools. Maybe he's going to all those schools. Let's say he's going to all those schools. Maybe abroad. Maybe he's in secondary school abroad. You have the money to put in there. When he takes his vacation, for his sake, you and him will go to the mission. I told my wife, my son, by the time he's getting to the age of maturity, my life will alter. Sometimes you go to all those mission fields. Life is not about what you are seeing. Ain't that you buy me chicken, probably Mr. Big ice cream. Those are all those things they know how to shop. We'll go and drink that water there. We'll drink the water and pray on it. If we have fever, God will heal us, we will not die there. But this is the other side of life. God will raise up his men from the backside of the mountain. All the men he is using. So you will not train the child that way, and it's misbehaving. I want to use that child, that man's experience to explain your own life. All of them, go and hear their testimony. All the men of God, you know, go and hear their testimony. Go and hear it. From when they did not have shoe, from how they did not have any trouser. Can a Copeland say his trouser was patched at the back? If he's going to preach, like I'm preaching now, it's pash. All of them, that's how God raised them up. God must take you to the rough plains. That's why he must take every man through the wilderness. But we now, because we are too protective, I was going to the first of my child, I suffered. My child must not suffer. And all of those things, okay. That child will grow up into another image. Some people have sent their child abroad and they tell man, tell their parent that, Daddy, this is my husband and it's another man. Train up a child in the way it should go. So I say that life supposed to be, that home is supposed to be a exuding life. If you enter my home and you live with me, you know that there's life here. One of my brother came one time and said, David, I want, he's from a Muslim background, he said, I want your type of Christianity. In my own blood brother that said it. Another one stayed in my house and he left. After he left some time, he said, wow. So, yeah, praise the Lord. You must prepare for it too. I started preparing for marriage so many years back with my younger sisters. Yes. My younger, I don't just command and do things. I try I use them to learn how to relate to a woman. I started learning with my sisters. Then, many ladies that were around me, I was using them to learn. So by the time I entered into marriage, I've acquired some level of stature in that area. So it's so easy for me to bend in some certain things. Praise the Lord. Yes. It's so easy for me to bend in some certain things. So that's how it is. He said the preparation of the heart is what? It's man. You must learn. Some of you live in a lodge with some guy. Maybe you are cooking together. After I cook, the food is in the kitchen. Come and carry your food. You cannot treat him like a prince. You cook the food from the kitchen. You go and give it to him. Put it in a tray. Put spoon. Put water. And please take your food. This thing is not prayer. This thing is not prayer. This thing is really practical. I told you how I learned. So, praise the Lord. Then, guys, guys, even the guys too. Guys, there are things also you do. All of you stay here. All of you stay in this lodge. I don't know where your water is. You know, you may not do it for everybody, but once in a while, do it for one or two persons. You know, fetch the water and take it to the bathroom for the lady. Wait, they said practice makes what? Practice makes what? You have not walked that path before. When you step in, you now start struggling. One meeting. Praise the Lord. What did I say that God told me about my wife? I say she's my covenant to you. When I do it, some things you do, God looks at it and God honors and God rewards you. You can see why some people are even looking for a job, there's no job. Even when the job is coming, it's supposed to be for them. If it's close to them, it will move another corner. It will go to the man that is ready. I'm telling you the principle of life. What will activate the power of God in your life? He said, he that honor me, that man will I honor. This person you think you cannot serve, do you know the eternal destiny of that person? He said, he that overcometh to sit with me on my throne. Do you know the my brother, what's your name? You may not respect him now. He may not look like it. But do you know the eternal future of this man when he leaves this earth? Jesus said, if you go overcome, you sit with me on my throne. He will sit on the same throne that God is seated. And yet on earth, you cannot serve him. You will go to heaven, will be full of regret. Say, God will wipe away so many tears. What are those tears? Tears of our ignorance on earth. That man, that woman deserves all. Not just that man, that woman, every single human being. Say, let us make man in our image. Let us make man in our likeness. Man is making the image in the likeness and the similitude of God. You see, what you've done to that man, you've done unto me. Jesus gave a parable that what? I was thirsty. You gave me water to drink. He said, when did we do it to you? When you did it to the least of the brethren. We are too quick to do it to our president. We are too quick to do it to the Jew. He said, no, it's not the Jew I'm talking about. I'm talking about the least of the brethren. The least person, the person that you don't even have the capacity to see. The person that you can walk beside him, you don't even know he's sitting. He said, once you do it to that person, so through wisdom, go and start looking for the least and start serving them. God will put you on the throne, even amongst men. God will bring men to come and serve you. God will bring people of men, institutions will honor you. Men of repute will serve you in this life. That is the way I know how to live. This thing I'm saying, I did it. When I was serving in Zamfara, let me tell you, we're all living in a copper lodge like this. All the coppers were in one place, serving in Zamfara. So, when we came, those boys now, maybe because they were looking martial, everybody was doing big manism. I came from Susu school, I'm a graduate of this school. This and that. So they were laughing at me. So when I come, where some of those ladies, they want to go and draw water from the well, just human, normal compassion, a man and a woman. Draw water. You know, if love is inside of you, if God's nature is inside of you, it will reflect on everything you do. Praise the Lord. Yes. You know, so the lady will be fetching water. I can't imagine my sister fetching water. Don't forget that person is somebody's sister and she's somebody's daughter. My sister just left today for service. It made me feed me with so much compassion. I said, I'm going to treat coppers
You know, I've been treating them well, but I'll treat them more better. I can imagine my own sister now walking up to people, you know, and all of that. That's my sister, and I love her so much. So imagine like that. So my sister, and that's the same way you are somebody's sister. Somebody treat the same way about you. Praise the Lord. Couples walked up to my office for one or two requests and all of those things, so they'll get added attention. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, as I do it for them, I know that God will raise up people to do it for my sister there. Praise the Lord. So I can't imagine her taking a piece of assignment to somewhere and he says, of course, you'll not even turn her back. So that's how it is. That's how it is. So, and we fetched the water. I was fetching the water for them. Those girls were laughing. I mean, I can never fetch water for a lady. You know, but I started teaching them. But before we left that place, all of them, even the one that was taking cocaine in amongst us, all of them were transformed by the power of life. There's a life, not just those things, there's a life, there's a radiation that comes out of you. We call it the power of an endless life. It's life that is inside. Why people cannot bear sometimes is death. Why people cannot serve is death. But if you have life inside of you, you don't mind to take to unwrap the towel in your waist and do it to wash the feet of someone that is lower than you. That's what Jesus did. He washed the disciples' feet. Because he had a sufficient life inside of him to do it. Some men cannot do it. Because there is no life inside. That's why I say the second man is not just a living soul. He's a life what? He's a life-giving spirit. I was fetching water for them. Before, and all the men there, they started doing it with time. Because I was teaching them. And I taught those ladies too. You cook. I say, Frank, come and carry your food. I said, how can you talk to a man like that? I say, serve him. This thing I'm telling you something, because we are laughing, that's why I'm giving you practical. So I did it. You know the people that serves me in my life. God brought people that serves me. Anywhere I go, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Anywhere I go, I look at the quality of people that God brings, you know, brings around my life that helps me. And up to today, I've not deviated from that path. I do it and I do it again and again. Look at Femi here. He's in law school, but he came to stay with me. He's doing his law attachment there. He's living in my house. Praise the Lord. So he knows what I'm saying. Again and again. Again and again. So if you don't serve, people will not serve you. Let me tell you the equation of life. The day a man disobeyed God, what happened to lion? When man was obeying God, what happened to man and lion? The lion, what was the lion doing? They were friends. The day the man turned from God, what happened? When he turned from the covenant, I say your life is in the covenant. So as long as you serve the covenant, God will serve you. The elements of life will serve you. Men will serve you. But when you deviate from that covenant, a lot of things will start deviating out of your life. When I came out, I didn't look for a job. There were jobs everywhere looking for me. Praise the Lord. There is a manner you are rest. I don't want to go into that, but let me just limit it in that place. There is a manner of life you live. There is nothing like labor market is labor market. I'm telling you, God not ordained life to be a life of struggle. He said the path of the church is like a shining light that shines brighter and brighter unto the perfect. He said from glory to glory. This is the equation of life. From life to life. From faith to faith. From glory to glory. From honor to honor. Praise the Lord. In summary, in a simple word, you see the home, that you have a home is the first calling, is the first ministry. People are laboring so much in their ministry, the one that they register with CAC. But that one is not, there is one that is registered in heaven, registered with God, and that is the home. That's every one of us who are ministers. That's where your first ministry starts from. You are the father, or you be the mother in that home, you have children in that place, you have people living with you. All of them must clearly see the life of God inside of you. Praise the Lord. They put that amen. It's okay. Let me not talk again. Time is going. So let's pray. You give me 15 minutes. I've spoken for almost 1 hour. Amen. Amen. Are you adding me time? No, I'll not take it. Stand up. Let's pray. Can you begin to talk to the Lord and appreciate Him? Thank Him. It's a wonderful experience. We're going to use the next 1, 2, 3, 5 minutes, just like Max, 5 minutes to pray. Just begin to appreciate your father. Just begin to worship him. Begin to honor him. Begin to thank him. Dave, let me tell you something. You see, the quality of your home determines the kind of anointing you are going to carry. Anointing is not going to the mountain to fast 40 days alone. If God tells you it's part of it, but the home where you mirror God's life and God's kingdom, the template is your home. From there, you know, effortlessly, every other thing begins to happen around you. Everything begins to happen around you. You are looking for God. That man in your life is the God in your life. That woman is the one, is the God that God has placed in your life. The way you are able to serve that man and serve that woman, and even the children that God gives you. Thank you, Father. Jesus, worship you. God is a self-existing God. Presumption of parents. You think your life, your children's life are tied to you. Even both parents are not alive. Let them give birth to the child today and let two of them die. The destiny of that child in God, that child will grow up before you. Because God is self-existing God. God is not as long as they are bad. Parents sometimes are too proud. Think they are just your children. It's a privilege that you have those children. It's a privilege and honor that God brings children that you raise them. Those are God's children. Those are God's instruments in this world. It's just a privilege that you have. If God ordained that child to be the president of this nation, the child does not need you. I want to see orphan from birth that became somebody alive. That is the majesty and the power of God. Life is a privilege that we have before. We must not violate the home. We must not violate the home. I said the home is God's house. This is God's house. You cannot behave anyhow. I am the head of this house. I am the one that supplies every food in this house. If I don't supply food, what do you eat in this house? Foolish man. Don't be alive today. And you see the amazing thing that God will do in that home. It might be rough for a start, but the end will be much more glorious than when you are alive. God is the truth. It's a privilege. Even if I work 18 hours to supply food in that home, by the time you are bringing the food from the field, you say it's a privilege I have to bring this food to this home. It's not a crap of pride. I am the man in this house, so nobody talks when I'm around. It's a privilege. You are not even needed in that home in the first place. If you have that understanding, it will change a lot of things about you. You know it's a privilege if you have. It's an opportunity that you have when you have a home. Or you have a, you are a woman, you want to be a landlord. Nobody, your husband cannot even come. The same affection, the love you pour for your mother, you pour for everybody around you. The love affection you pour for your wife, you pour for everybody around her. In your wife, you have engrafted all of them into your life. I'm showing the path of life. He said, that will show me the path of life. I'm showing the pathway to life. To fullness of life, to abundance of life. Jesus, I have come that you have life. And have it in abundance and have it to the full. I'm showing you a pathway to that life. He said, do this thing and you never fall. There are things you must do for you to abound in life. Father, we thank you. Father, we thank you. Father, we bless you. Talk to your father. Talk to your father. Let me read the scripture for you as you are praying. Listen. You want to listen. Jesus said, I come to have life. I have come that you may have life and have it in abundance. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 5. And beside this, he said, giving all diligence, add to your faith vessel. Add to your faith vessel. If you have faith, you know you are on your own. Add to your faith vessel. Add to vessel knowledge. He said, to knowledge, temperance. And to temperance, patience. And to patience, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, love. If this will be in you and abound,
they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. He said, but he that lacks this thing is blind and cannot see afar off, and has forgotten that he has been purged from his old sin. Listen, listen. Therefore, they rather bear and give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if this thing be in you, you shall never fall in life. You can never fall to shite bed in the delivery room. Verse 11. For so an entrance is a beyond this life, even in heaven. Can you see how this thing will meet you in heaven? This thing I'm saying you should do. Some of you are shouting. And she said she should pay shelter for that lady. He said, for so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly in the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He said, even in heaven, the way the gates of heaven will be open to you is not the way to be open to the ordinary man, to the other believer. He said, an abundant entrance. Abundant entrance into the gates in heaven. He said, but you must add this thing to your life. You must do this. This is the learning field. Learn this thing now that you are serving. Start learning it now. Start learning it now. Otherwise, that presumption of knowledge, pride of knowledge. You say, by the time I have my husband, I was so loving him, I was so care for him, and all of those things. The day the man shout at you, you see all those things you say, you know, you forget it. Why should you shout at me? You don't even go for him. You start manifesting for you. So this thing is inside of me. Keep those things now. Keep those things now. Keep those things now. By practice. By practice. By practice. Those of you in the family, that brother that will talk to you every time, is that the brother that should humble yourself before him now? Because you are learning to relate with your husband. Learn it now. Learn it now. Everything in life you must learn it. Even the Holy Ghost, they say you can learn the Spirit. Even the Holy Ghost, you have to learn God. You must learn how to relate to the husband. A husband is not the same thing as a man. A husband is not the same thing as relating with a brother. Relating with a brother and relating with a husband, they are two different things. But if you don't learn how to relate with a brother, you will not be able to learn to relate with a husband. Because the relationship with the husband is higher. The requirement is higher, the demand is higher. So the learning field is to learn to relate with a brother. Learn to tolerate that brother. Learn to take that brother in. Learn to take that sister in. Relating with a wife. The requirement is so high. It's so high. Relating with a wife. Relating with a wife. The requirement is so high. So stop not to relate to the sister. Be relating with a sister. You are ready to relate to the wife. This is a part of life. Hello? This is a part of life. This is part, we got this real. This is reality. This is life. Humble yourself before God so that God will exalt you in due time, in due season. The person I've just shown you can never lack. Angels will be at his beck and at his call. He said, while you are yet speaking, I will answer. He said, to this man will I look, not to every man. To this man will I look, not to every man. 1 John 4:20. If you cannot love your fellow man whom you have seen, how can you say you love God whom you have not seen? Go and start bowing to men. Go and start serving men. Go and start serving men. When I say men, I mean men and women. Even that little child, that boy, that small boy, God is not learning to serve him. When you serve that small boy, God will be a president that will serve you. Hope you know there are people that we call, the president will come the next day. Hope you know there are people that we call, in 2 hours the president will be there. Hope you are aware. Hope you know there are people that we call, your governor will be there. Your governor, even if it's in America, will fly down. He will fly down. When you serve, you will be served. Jesus knew the way, the only only way men will serve him is that you first, you have to first serve men. He said the Son of Man did not come to be served, but he came to serve. Jesus said the Son of Man did not come to serve, but he came to serve. And because he has served, and now you and I are serving him, that is a road, that is a pathway. The Son of Man did not come to serve, but to serve. I did not come to be served, but to serve. But to serve and give his life as a ransom. As a ransom for many.
For you now, but listen, let me read the scripture for you. Mark 10:45. If Jesus could follow this pathway, Mark 10:45, I'll read the scripture and then I'll pray. For truly the Son of Man did not come to have servants, but to be a servant and to give his life for the salvation of men. He said, I did not come so that I would be served. I came here to serve. The man that will see God on earth is a man that is willing to serve, to be a servant, and to be a servant to all. He said, who is the greatest in the kingdom? Let him be the servant of all. Let him serve everybody. If you want to know the greatest in the family house, the one that, not your president or your David, not the titles, except if your president will now switch into the title of heaven, to be the servant of all. So the greatest in this family house is the one that serves everybody. The servant of all. Can you see the path? Can you see the pattern? The man that is ready to serve, even in his own home, he's a servant. Even in his own home, where he's the head, is a servant. He said, to this man will I look. Our Father, we thank you for this meeting. Our Father, we bless you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for this day. We are your children. Lord, you know us. You know our down sitting and you know our uprising. There is not a thought in our heart. Oh Lord, you know it all together. You see our thought from afar off. The thought we are yet to think in 10 years from now, you already know it. You see our thought from a distance. You know everything about us. And so here we are before you asking for your help. Lord, help us. Help us, our Father, in Jesus' name. Lord, we want you. That's why we are here in the first place. That's why we're in this meeting. We desire you. We want to see your power. We want to see your glory. We want to see your goodness in this life. God, you are good and life indeed is good. We want to see the good portion of life. Thank you, Father. But we ask that you help us.
as you teach us to live day by day. Help us to actually live. Help us to walk in the light of the things that you have communicated to us. To serve. To be servants on earth. He said, behold my servant whom I uphold. My servant whom I exalt. He said, my servant shall be exalted and extolled and lifted high. Help us to be that servant. Help us to be your servant. So that life can serve us. So that the elements of nature can serve us. Thank you, Father. You are a faithful God. Help us to be faithful to our commitment. Thank you, Father. We give you praise. We give you glory. Our Father, we say we love you. I pray for my brethren. Some of them have finished their service. Even as they step forth into life, I want to pray for you. Please come out if you have finished your service. If you have finished your service, let me pray for you. Only you. Only you. Okay, Femi, you are back. You're welcome. Finish your service. God visited me after my service too. That same God, you see, who was, who is, and who is to come. Our Father, we thank you. We give you praise and glory. Thank you for my brethren here. My Father, I want to remind you, when I finish my service, Lord, you helped me indeed. The help that you laid upon me, my Father, I ask that you lay it upon them in greater measure in Jesus' name. They will just have favor. Even people that they don't even know want to favor them. Because God, you have favored them from heaven. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Lord, I come to you on the ground of your mercy. Your eternal mercy. Thank you, Father. I activate the covenant of mercy upon their life in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Mercy will make up for all our shortcomings. Mercy will fill up all our shortcomings and fill the cup to brim and overflowing. Thank you, Father. I don't know all their names. Femi is here. Dave is here. And every use them as a point of contact to all my brethren that are here. My Father, you will help them. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Some of them, you give them job. Some of them, their destiny is not in job, but it's in the vocation what to do. It's not every ground that brings forth. It's not every vocation that brings forth. You lead them to vocation that brings forth. And even vocation that does not bring forth, before they stretch forth their hand in it, it will bring forth. Thank you, Father. Give you praise and glory. Thank you because it is done, because you hear us, because you love us and you delight in us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. For the rest of you, I pray for you. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. This word that you have heard today, the Lord will give you a good home. The Lord will give you an exceeding wonderful home in Jesus' name. The Lord will help you to yield to him. The Lord will help you to respond to him. The Lord will help you to hearken and to listen to him, even as he order and direct your path in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Those of them that are not into relationships now, Lord, you bring it, I call it forth into their lives in Jesus' name. Those that are into relationships that are not even your ordained path and will for them, Lord, I break it on their behalf and I bring the right person in Jesus' name. Thank you, righteous Father. Give you praise and glory. For in Jesus' name we pray. Thank you. God bless you. Sorry for taking your time.